Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you, net listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 19 years now. And we praise the Lord for that. We thank you for the prayers and the support. Thank you for the radio station and most of all for the listeners, for you out there listening. Today, we're going to have a great message. It's called Called Unto the Lord. We're going to talk about your calling, how your calling will be revealed to you when you seek the Lord. And this is going to be a very good message. We're very thankful this Thanksgiving season for all the blessings that the Lord has, and most of all that we can serve the Lord, the great blessing of being able to submit our lives to Him and serve Him. And so this is going to be a great message for you. You can turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. We'll take. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you. Going to give you a brief update of what's going on here in Africa. Been having rain just about every day. This is supposed to be the short rain season, but it feels more like the long rains that we get in the spring. But it's been very, very wet here the last 2 to 3 weeks. And so we've been working on putting up gutters at the church and the pastor's house and at the Duca compound. And so that's given us a lot to do in taking care of the runoff off of our buildings. As I spoke in the prayer time, we have a crusade scheduled for December 12th to the 14th. And so we'd like to have your prayers for that. And we'd like to have your provision for that. If you feel called to help us preach a crusade, we're going out to Mwanda Village, not too far from Mumias, about 20 kilometers from Mumias. And we have a partner church out there. We'll be partnering with them. And the crusade is going to be in a marketplace near the church, not at the church compound, but in a marketplace so we can reach out to all the people in that region. And then we can usher them to the pastors. We're going to be working with 15 to 20 pastors in that region, and we'll be able to work with them and usher people into their church through the people that come forward at the crusades. So pray about that. Pray about your part in helping. If you have questions, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. And if you'd like to have further answers about your questions, just send me an email. I'll get you a reply shortly. And if you feel called to help, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information. Well, today we're going to be talking about called unto the Lord. And this is a very big subject because in the New Covenant, the New Testament, we have a calling that has been placed upon us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this message is going to be primarily for those of you who are born-again believers, although there may be some of you out there listening and you're curious, you want to know what the Christian faith is all about, you want to know how you can dive in and get started in your walk with the Lord. But Jesus, in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, he said, "Go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age," or even unto the end of the world. And so we have a commission, we have a charge, we have a calling that has been placed upon us in a general way through that Great Commission, but we also, each and every one of us, have an individual calling, and that is God's plan for you to find out what your individual calling is and to do His will in your life and to do His will and be obedient to what He has placed upon you and what He has spoken over you from even before the time when you were born, even before the time when you were knit in your mother's womb. God had spoken over you your calling and your destiny, what He has for you here on the earth. And so that makes your life very exciting. when you're working for the Lord. It makes your life full of adventure. You know your purpose. You know your path. You know where you're going. You're not wandering around, wondering about what you're doing on this earth and why you're here, why God placed you here. All those questions people have, you can eliminate all those questions when you seek the Lord and find out what His purpose is for you here on the earth. So I'm going to start here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, just one verse here. And this one is the Apostle Paul speaking to the new believers at Thessalonica. And he says, "Faithful is He who calls you, and He will see it come to pass," or He will also do it. Faithful is He who calls you, and He will see it come to pass, or He also will do it. Well, that is a specific call for each one of us. Faithful is God who calls you. He gives each one of us a small measure of faith, or the Bible describes it as a mustard seed of faith, a tiny mustard seed. Well, if you've ever planted cabbage or turnips, any of those brassicas, you know they're all tiny, tiny black seed, and that is a mustard seed, a tiny black seed. And yet we have sukuma here in Kenya that can grow 4 or 5 feet tall. You can harvest it for a year, keep picking leaves off of it. You can harvest cabbage, and a little tiny mustard seed of cabbage will grow to a cabbage that can weigh 10, 15 pounds. I've seen some from Alaska that weigh 20 pounds or more. And so that little tiny seed produces a big, big fruit, a big crop. And that little tiny seed, you can be assured that God has given you a little tiny seed of mustard, a little tiny seed that can move mountains, that little tiny seed that can do great exploits for the kingdom of God. And that includes maybe going and being a missionary. That maybe includes raising a lot of money for ventures in the kingdom of God. Maybe that means becoming a pastor. Maybe that means becoming a Bible study leader, teaching people about the importance of Scripture and the meaning of Scripture. There's many, many things in the kingdom of God where you can join in, you can get involved, and your calling, your individual specific calling, will come about when you trust God to show you what your calling is. And He will show you. You seek Him with all your heart, and He will show you. He will reveal Himself to you, and He will reveal to you what He spoke over you even before you were born. Well, we're going to go over to Philippians. This is also Apostle Paul writing, Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to start here in verse 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for all of you with joy." Verse 5, "for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus," or until the day when Jesus returns. So let me repeat those last two verses again. Paul says, "From the very first day that I remembered you," or "I knew you," from the very first day until now, Paul says, "I have been very confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Well, God has begun a good work in you. As I spoke, those of you who are born again believers, you know the difference between who you are now and what you are now, and the excitement you have, the testimony you have, the work that you have in the kingdom of God. And maybe right now you don't know what your individual calling is. Maybe right now you don't know what God exactly has for you in the fullness of your calling. But let me just encourage you and tell you that when you seek the Lord and you cry out to Him and you ask Him to show you what your purpose and what your calling is, He will show that to you. And just as Paul said, that he is confident that God has started a good work in you, and he is also confident that he is going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so as God speaks to you, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you and shows you what your destiny is, shows you what your individual calling is, then each and every day something new comes up, each and every moment in a way, each and every hour, each and every prayer, something new comes up, and God will give you revelation of Him, but He'll also give you revelation of the people that you're working with. He'll give you revelation of your mission field. He will give you revelation and show you more about what you can do to encounter the demonic world, what you can do to defeat the kingdom of the devil, and God will complete it. He will keep working that which He has started. He's going to keep working in you. He's going to complete it until either you die, which is your last day, and then you'll be promoted to heaven. And then the other alternative is if Jesus comes back while you are living, and if Jesus comes back, then that is the day of Jesus Christ, as Paul speaks about in this passage of Scripture. But either way, you're going to be engaged in the kingdom until the day you either die or you are raptured out with the church. And so you have something you can sink your teeth in. You have something to keep you engaged, something to keep you excited, something to keep you motivated. Walk with the Lord will get more exciting and deeper each and every day. That is God's plan. That is His will for your life. And you can be amazed at how God can use you. Don't take the glory for yourself. All the glory goes to God, but I can tell you that God will use you in ways beyond anything that you can ever think or imagine for yourself, and you will look at your life and say, wow, what has God wrought? You will look at your life and say, I can't even believe that me or you, I can't even believe that this is how God is using me. Well, the callings of God, Romans 11:29, the Apostle Paul says that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. And so when God gives you gifts, maybe Paul was speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe he was speaking about the office gifts or the gifts to the church in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. There's many gifts given in the Bible, and the gifts and callings are given by God so that the people of God are equipped to do every good work, equipped to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, equipped to fulfill the Great Commission. And God does His work through people. You can't just sit in your rocking chair and, that first scripture that I spoke, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, says He will see it come to pass, or He also will do it. You can't just sit in your rocking chair on the front porch and say, okay, God, I trust that You can do it, so I'm just going to let You do it. Well, we just saw an example of how the people of God work with God, and a great victory was accomplished in the election. I considered an intervention of God in the affairs of the United States of America, but the people of God had to go to the poll and vote. The people of God had to get involved, and that is true with every single endeavor in the kingdom of God. God doesn't just do it, and we can't just sit in the church pew and sing Kumbaya. We can't just sit at home and watch football all the time and think the kingdom of God is going to spread across the earth. We have to get involved, and that includes each one of us. Each one of you has to seek the Lord, seek Him for the individual calling and destiny that He has placed over your life. And this is a great example of how God sent out Saul in the early church. God is just getting his church going on the earth. This is not too long after the days of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind. And in Acts 13, we have here an example of the Holy Spirit being poured out, and it's instructing men who were gathered together to seek their calling, to seek what God had for them. And this is Acts chapter 13, verse 1. And this is the time when the church is just finding their way. They don't really know what they're supposed to be doing. They're just asking the Lord to guide them and direct them. They're just asking the Lord to give them strength and give them direction. Chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do.'" And then in verse 3, "Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." And so verse 4, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." Verse 5, "And when they had arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John Mark, as their assistant." So here's five or six men who are praying and fasting. They're in a church at Antioch. That's where the first Christians, or where the first people, where the people were first called Christians, was at Antioch. And that is the place of Saul. That was Saul's home at this time. And they are asking the Lord, "Lord, show us how we can go. Show us where we can go. Show us what you have for us. Lord, we're ready to go. We're ready to launch out." Paul was there, or Saul. He's called Saul in this passage of scripture, but it's the same person as Apostle Paul. And it said they were praying and they were fasting and they were asking the Lord, "Lord, show us where you want us to go, what you want us to do." And so the Holy Spirit spoke to them after a certain period of time. It doesn't say how long they prayed and fasted. It says the Holy Spirit spoke, and apparently the Holy Spirit spoke to several of them because they had confirmation that this was God's plan. And it says that, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' And then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." And so they were sure of what the calling was. They were sure of what the plan was. They were sure of what the direction. And beloved, when you have God's plan in your heart and in your mind, you're not going to be full of confusion. When you have God's plan in your heart and in your mind, it's like having a blueprint to build a big building or build a big house. You know, the architect makes the blueprint. Everything is laid out on paper, all the dimensions down to the foot, down to the inch, all the plumbing connections, all the electrical connections, everything that is supposed to be built, and it will be according to that plan. So it is with God. So it is with the Holy Spirit. When he gives you a plan, you can trust the Lord that that plan is right. You can trust the Lord that that plan is true, that it has been ordained by God. There will not be any confusion about it. There will not be mistakes. Even as I'm speaking to you today, there are some of you, you know God has spoken to you about a plan. Maybe it's to go be a missionary. Maybe it's to be a pastor. Maybe it's to send money for a missionary. Whatever it is God has spoken to you, you can trust the Lord that that plan is true. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will see it come to pass. But he wants to work through you so that plan will come to pass. And he wants to work through you so the plan will be carried out, so the kingdom of God, so the government of God will expand on the earth, and the kingdom of the devil will be destroyed, and the kingdom of the devil will be set aside. And so Paul and Barnabas and John Mark joined them later. They went and they started preaching. When they got to Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. So that was the start of the Apostle Paul's ministry. He eventually made 3 trips up into Asia, Turkey, Greece, Macedonia, on over to Rome. He made 3 missionary trips, and he preached the gospel everywhere he went. And so when you get to heaven, you're going to see Apostle Paul up there, and his life was cut short because he was martyred, but he accomplished a great deal for the kingdom of God, wrote 14 books of the Bible, and has been a great inspiration because of his writings, because of his life and his testimony. It's been a great inspiration to Christians since that first century. Well, Paul had a spiritual son. His name was Timothy. And Timothy, Paul wrote 2 books of the Bible to Timothy, 2 letters to Timothy, and they're great inspirations to us as well. Timothy was a young man, but Paul speaks to him in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and he said, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. Therefore," verse 6, "I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the laying on of my hands." And so Paul brings up a bit of Timothy's history here, and he cites a couple of ladies who were very influential, very powerful in Timothy's life, his grandmother and his mother. Many of you have been raised up in families where you had powerful prayer warriors, maybe a grandmother, maybe a mother, or maybe your father was very influential and leader in your life. I was very fortunate in my life to have a very strong father. He was active in the church. He was a man of prayer, a man of Bible study. And he said there in verse 6, Paul said to Timothy, "I remind you to stir up the gift of God that was given to you by the laying on of my hands." So at some point, Paul, in anointing this man with laying on of hands, he anointed him to do the work of God, or to receive the anointing and the mantle that the Apostle Paul had on himself. And beloved, if you have had the privilege of some great leader, some great preacher, pastor, lay hands on you and pray for you, you know that the anointing that comes with it will encourage you, it will strengthen you, and it will allow you to move forward with more confidence, with more boldness, because you're carrying that same mantle, you're carrying that same anointing as that person who lays hands on you. Then in verse 7, 1 Timothy chapter 1, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And so don't let fear hold you back. When God calls you, when God puts his hand on you, or somebody, anointed man of God, lays his hand on you, don't let fear hold you back, because the devil will always try to stir up fear in you. He'll make you shrink back. He'll say, "No, God made a mistake. God doesn't really believe that you're able to do this." Beloved, go forward in boldness. Go forward in power. Paul says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. So that spirit of fear, it comes from the devil. The devil will give you 400 reasons not to go on a mission trip. He'll give you 400 reasons not to write out a big check to support some ministry. He'll give you 400 reasons why even not to go to church. Simple things like, you know, your pride is keeping you away from the church. You don't think you need church. You think you've got all the answers to life, and you don't need people to pray with you or encourage you. Beloved, that's all from the devil. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Speak about Jesus. Speak Jesus. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul was a prisoner at that time. He's writing this letter from prison. But he says, share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. When you move forward in the kingdom, you're going to be sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. You're going to be sharing in the sufferings of the Apostle Paul. Get used to it. Blessed are those who are persecuted for Jesus' name's sake. He says, for great will be your reward. Great will be your reward in heaven. And so when you get accustomed to the persecution, you're going to have to pray more. You're going to have to buckle down, study more, and you will be ready for the persecution when it comes, when God calls you. And then in verse 9, Paul says, it is God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And so God called you before time began. It's not according to your works, not according to how great of a person you are or how beautiful you look when you look in the mirror. It's about the purpose that God has for you, the grace that he has given you, and that calling, beloved, when you start to walk it out, when you start to fulfill it, when you start to complete it, it's going to give you peace, it's going to give you joy, it's going to give you fulfillment, and you will know that the reason you're on this earth is to complete the plans that God has for you. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I hope you enjoy these broadcasts. We would appreciate your support to keep these broadcasts going. We appreciate your support to conduct that crusade over in Mwanda Village. And we appreciate your support. Sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. We thank God for you. We invite you to partner with this ministry as we take the gospel to the nations of Africa. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.